Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment, evangelistic program dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Today we'll begin looking at the person and gospel message of Robert Schuller. Robert Schuller is well known as the positive preacher on the very popular TV broadcast called The Hour of Power, which is seen on hundreds of stations worldwide. His audience numbers are perhaps the most of any TV preacher out there, clocking in at over 20 million a week. Schuller himself has said that his TV show is watched by thousands of pastors, hundreds of rabbis, and over a million Muslims a week. According to Christianity Today, quote, Schuller is now reaching more non-Christians than any other religious leader in America. According to one website, he takes in over $50 million annually from his TV show alone. Schuller has written scores of books. Some of the titles are Self-Love, Self-Esteem, The New Reformation, You Can Be the Person You Want to Be, and Don't Throw Away Tomorrow. He was the senior pastor of the 10,000-member Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, for about 50 years before turning over the position to his 51-year-old son, Robert A. Schuller, in January of 2006. Robert Schuller has had a huge impact on pastors around the world. In fact, two very popular pastors in the seeker-friendly movement, Bill Hybels from Willow Creek Community Church in the Chicago area, and Rick Warren, pastor of Saddleback Church in California and the author of The Purpose-Driven Life, they both have considered Schuller to have had the most influence in their ministries. Robert Schuller was born in 1926 to an Iowan family of Dutch descent. He was reared in the Reformed Church of America and decided at age 5 to become a minister. He entered the pastorate in 1951 at Hope Church in Chicago, which grew in 4 years from 38 to 400 members. In 1955, his denomination sent him to Orange County, California, to establish a new church there. After trying unsuccessfully to rent numerous facilities, he finally rented out the Orange County Drive-In Theater for Sunday morning service, preaching from the rooftop of the snack bar. According to his friend Michael Nason, Schuller grew his church by going door to door, inviting people to come and asking what type of church they would like to attend. To his surprise, he found out that most people didn't even know the difference between the Old and New Testament and couldn't care less. He then realized that giving Bible studies on Sunday mornings would turn off most of the unchurched people. So again, he asked the unchurched what they would like to see in a church. They wanted beauty, light, friendly people, programs that suited their needs, beautiful sermons, and sermons that weren't boring. Better yet, they wanted sermons that weren't even sermons. They wanted a place where they could feel comfortable. Schuller then decided that he would never again use his pulpit as a teaching platform. Well, if this methodology rings a bell of familiarity to you, it's exactly the methodology used by the seeker-friendly church growth movement, popularized to a large extent by Bill Hybels and Rick Warren. According to them, church is to be a place where men and women, especially the unbelievers, can come and feel comfortable and perhaps later accept Jesus Christ into their lives. They often have very entertainment-oriented services, polished praise bands, they have food courts, you get the picture. But the problem with this method is that it's just really not biblical. The church is supposed to be made up of the bride of Christ, the sheep, not the goats. To make things much worse, many leaders in the seeker-friendly movement remove offensive words from their sermons such as sin, born again, repentance, hell, and judgment, because after all, we wouldn't want people to get upset and leave. In essence, many end up preaching a sermon that, well, isn't even a sermon. The result? A church full of unbelievers, false converts, and immature Christians ill-prepared to wage the war against the world, the flesh, and the devil. Ephesians 4:11-13 gives us the blueprint for the church. It says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Jesus' exhortation to Peter was not to entertain the goats, but to feed my sheep. Well, let's begin to take a look at Robert Schuller's gospel. And I want to be very careful that I don't judge the person, but the message. Only God knows what's in Robert Schuller's heart. He will stand before Jesus Christ someday and answer for what he has taught, just like me. Now, I am not judging Schuller's motives or his Christianity. Again, to his own master he stands or falls. My job today is to examine Schuller's gospel and teachings in the light of the Bible. Well, in his book Self-Esteem, Schuller believes he has found a basic deficit in modern Christianity and identifies the problem. Quote, "What is that basic flaw? I believe it is the failure to proclaim the gospel in a way that can satisfy every person's deepest need, one's spiritual hunger for glory. Rather than glorify God's highest creation, the human being, Christian liturgies, hymns, prayers, and scriptural interpretations have often insensitively and destructively offended the dignity of the person." Well, I hope that red flags are going up all over the place out there. According to what Schuller wrote, Christianity has been doing it wrong for years, failing to glorify man. Every man's deepest need isn't salvation from sin, hell, and God's wrath, but his spiritual hunger for self-glory. Well, I can find at least one place in the Bible where it does teach that man's desire is for the glorification of himself. It's very close to the beginning in Genesis chapter 3, where Satan, the deceiver, tells Eve that in the day you eat of the tree, you will be like God. There it is, man's spiritual hunger for glory, and look where we ended up. No wonder why Satan himself was not satisfied as a creature of God, but said in Isaiah 14, "I will be like the Most High." This doctrine has led Schuller down the path not of bringing glory to God, but a psychology-driven gospel message that is completely man-centered. Schuller's main message to his audience is self-achievement, self-esteem, self-worth, and possibility thinking. Bella Stumbo, a writer for the Los Angeles Times, after an interview with Schuller, wrote, quote, "Robert Schuller believes that God placed him on this earth to preach possibility thinking." Let's hear Schuller now.
Tens of thousands of people that I know have overcome every imaginable human hardship, struggle, horror, and pain. I have seen them become dreamers of a new dream. I have seen them step into the fantastic world I call possibility thinking. I have walked with them through cancer, bankruptcy, depression, and failures. I watch as they go on to dream a new dream, and I watch them make it happen. Trust me. Trust me. Make your thinking big enough for God to fit in. Step with me into an exciting new world you've probably never known before. Well, join me on a trip that I know very, very well. Yes, I have a new dream. The dream is you. If your dream will come true, it's up to you.
How does Schuller get away with this? Well, it's easy when you're a famous writer. Schuller wrote in his book Self-Esteem, quote, "Christ was the world's greatest possibility thinker. Do we dare follow him?" Well, this is called the stuff Jesus into your theology trick. Cults do it all the time. But Jesus was not a possibility thinker. He was and is the Son of God, the creator and sustainer of all things, and the just judge of all the earth. According to Robert Schuller, positive thinking is the key to success in spirituality. In fact, Schuller's son attributes Norman Vincent Peale as the one responsible for his dad's possibility thinking. According to LetUsReason.org, when Peale died, Schuller was in tears on his TV broadcast. Schuller told how Peale had been his inspiration and mentor, and the man who had the greatest influence upon his theology and ministry. He attributed to Peale as the one starting the positive thinking movement. But Peale is known to be a 33rd degree Mason who also rejected the Christian doctrine of justification by faith alone, of sin, and the physical resurrection of Jesus Christ. Peale has said, quote, your unconscious mind has a power that turns wishes into realities when the wishes are strong enough. Schuller's gospel, then again, is nothing more than psychology masquerading as Christianity. It isn't sin, but self-esteem that's the problem with man. Schuller, in his book Self-Esteem, the New Reformation, writes, quote, I contend that his unfulfilled need for self-esteem underlies every act over and over again, that the core of man's sin is not his depravity, but a lack of self-dignity. Self-esteem is the single greatest need facing the human race today. If the gospel of Jesus Christ can be proclaimed as a theology of self-esteem, imagine the health this could generate in society. So, Schuller's theology emphasizes self-esteem, self-worth, and believing in yourself as the key to success.
Then you practice possibility thinking. You believe in yourself. You know you can do it. You know you are somebody. So you dream the great dreams, and then you set goals. And you become a goal-oriented, goal-managed person. And that's how you become a God-managed person. That's how to live the God life that He wants you to live. Find out what His dream is for you. What does He want you to be as a person?
But the Bible says quite the opposite. And Isaiah 64:6, which you'd probably never hear from Schuller's mouth, says that all our righteousness is like a filthy rag before God, literally meaning like a used menstrual cloth. The book of Romans says no one is good, no, not one. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Self-esteem is not our problem. Our problem is simply self. We're the problem that separates us from God and will eventually land us in hell if we don't repent. We don't need to focus on self-esteem, but God-esteem. He is the one worthy of all our esteem, not ourselves. We do fine on our own, esteeming ourselves too much. The Bible says, whoever humbles himself will be exalted, but whoever exalts himself will be humbled. We'll pick up more next week. Last week, we began an examination of Robert Schuller and his psychology-driven gospel message. Robert Schuller was head pastor of the 10,000-member Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California for 50 years, but early in 2006, he turned the position over to his 51-year-old son, Robert A. Schuller, although he is still involved in the ministry. He is the positive TV preacher, featured on the broadcast The Hour of Power, which has an audience of over 20 million weekly, including pastors, rabbis, and over a million Muslims. He has authored numerous books and was very influential in starting the seeker-friendly / church growth movement, popularized lately by Bill Hybels from Willow Creek Community Church in the Chicago area and Rick Warren, the author of The Purpose-Driven Life. Last week, I began talking about Schuller's theology. I said last week that Robert Schuller has identified a flaw in modern Christianity. That flaw is that Christianity has done much damage to the dignity of the human being through its hymns, prayers, and Bible interpretations teaching that men are depraved sinners and in need of a Savior. Instead of this, Schuller says that glorifying man and man's self-esteem is the greatest need facing the human race today. Instead of preaching sin, hell, judgment, and repentance, Schuller has decided to focus on more positive topics, including his well-known possibility thinking message, where man becomes the center of his destiny and self-fulfillment is attained through self-achievement.
I can be something. I can achieve something. I will. I am somebody. I can do something. I will do something. And in that whole process, you are repenting positively of the sins of omission. And only when you do that do you really bring glory to God. Hear it? That's the emphasis this ministry has brought into historic Christian faith, without being heretical.
How does Schuller get away with this? Well, contrary to what he says is not heresy. How does he get away with this and still call it Christianity? He redefines words to mean something completely different from the biblical meaning. You know, cults do this all the time. If you talk to a Mormon, you'll think he is a Christian because he believes in Jesus Christ. He believes in heaven and hell and being born again. But further examination reveals that none of these terms mean what the Bible defines them as. Same words, different meanings. For example, in addressing a group of Unity School minister trainees, Robert Shuler was asked, quote, will you describe the role of what you might consider the New Age minister in the 80s and beyond? Shuler replied, I believe that the responsibility in this age is to positivize religion. Now, this probably doesn't have much bearing on you people being Unity people. You're positive. But I talk to a great deal of groups that are not positive, even to what we would call fundamentalists, who deal constantly with words like sin, salvation, repentance, guilt, that sort of thing. So when I'm dealing with these people, what we have to do is positivize the words that have classically only had a negative interpretation. By the way, the Unity School of Christianity is a mind science religious cult, rejected the fundamental doctrines of the Christian faith, similar to that of Mary Baker Eddy's Christian Science. Well, before we go further, let's hear Robert Shuler's view on the depravity of man. All you reformers out there, listen up.
Are we so corrupt, and are we totally unable to do any good and inclined toward all evil? The answer in the Catechism says yes, unless we are born again by the Spirit of God. I don't think I would accept that answer. I know people that are not Christians. They're not born again, but they're very kind people. I have to say they do a lot of good.
Paul says there is no one who does good, no, not one.
Well, I'm not going to say that because I think that leads ultimately to holier-than-thouism, self-righteousness, and that comes out of the personality of the preacher, and it does an untold damage.
So in view of that, let's look at how Robert Shuler defines sin. This is from page 14 of his book, Self-Esteem, The New Reformation. Quote, what do I mean by sin? Answer, any human condition or act that robs God of glory by stripping one of his children of their right to divine dignity. I can offer still another answer. Sin is any act or thought that robs myself or another human being of his or her self-esteem. Well, hopefully that definition is not taught in your Sunday school class. The Bible says in 1 John 3:4 that sin is transgression of the law. Sin is breaking God's holy law, his righteous standard that we all fall short of. When we sin, we prove that we are lawbreakers. It has absolutely nothing to do with divine dignity or robbing ourselves of self-esteem. That definition of sin is flat-out false teaching, and the only way to derive that definition from the Bible is to simply not read the Bible for the answer. Again, this is perhaps the kind of answer you'll expect to find maybe from Oprah Winfrey or Dr. Phil. Maybe, perhaps they even know better. Keep in mind that Christianity Today has quoted that Shuler is now reaching more non-Christians than any other religious leader in America, and this should scare you and get you involved and motivated to witness the truth to unbelievers, not the heretical Robert Shuler gospel. In fact, Shuler stated in Time magazine, quote, I don't think anything has been done in the name of Christ and under the banner of Christianity that has proven more destructive to human personality and hence counterproductive to the evangelism enterprise than the often crude, uncouth, and unchristian strategy of attempting to make people aware of their lost and sinful condition. But Paul wrote that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. And Jesus himself said that he came to call sinners to repentance. If people are not aware of their lost and sinful condition, they cannot repent and are unaware that they need saving at all, landing them in hell for all eternity. But Shuler affirms that Jesus never called anyone a sinner. I would have to ask, was it a mistake when Jesus called the Pharisees names such as hypocrites, white sepulchers, serpents, generation of vipers, fools, all in Matthew 23? Was Jesus concerned about building up their self-image, or was he pointing out their sinful condition? Well, according to Robert Shuler, what is hell? Well, quote, It is the loss of pride that naturally follows separation from God, the ultimate and unfailing source of our soul's sense of self-respect. A person is in hell when he has lost his self-esteem. Can you imagine any condition more tragic than to live life and eternity in shame? Well, is this what the Bible says hell is? Loss of self-esteem? No. According to Jesus, hell is everlasting punishment. It's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth where the worm does not die nor the fire quenched. Hell is the lake of fire, everlasting destruction. Contrary to Schuller, hell is not a place where one can be in this life, no matter how much self-esteem he has lost, but it's a real place of everlasting punishment for those not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hell is for all those who have failed to repent and put faith in the Savior's cross, no matter if he has self-esteem or if he doesn't have self-esteem. This is another completely unbiblical definition of a clearly defined word in Scripture. How Schuller can teach this in good conscience, deceiving multitudes, is a horrible thing to do. How about born again? Well, Schuller says, quote, "To be born again means that we must be changed from a negative to a positive self-image, from inferiority to self-esteem, from fear to love, from doubt to trust." Can you see that Schuller has redefined words to the point that they look nothing like the actual biblical descriptions of them? How can a Christian in good conscience give any credence to a man like Robert Schuller who is leading millions of people astray from the gospel of Jesus Christ? How can anyone who loves Jesus support this man's work? Schuller is a blatant false teacher and should be exposed, not commended for a good work, no matter how big his ministry may be. So what does the Bible say born again means? Well, being born again is a spiritual condition where a person has been given a new nature from God. Just as he is born in sin, he is now regenerated into a new creation whose spirit now has a relationship with God. He has passed from death to life. He has been forgiven of his sins, assured a place in heaven, and made positionally righteous in God's eyes. It has nothing to do with self-image. Here's a question from Robert Schuller and an answer. Should a minister preach that all are sinners in his effort to win the lost? Answer. A theology of salvation that starts with an appeal to the value of the person will produce mentally and emotionally healthy human beings. At the same time, a theology of salvation that exploits the person's intrinsic guilt and insecurity can and often does produce neurotic converts.
What holds you back more than anything else is lack of internal harmony. We call it salvation, where you get rid of a thing called guilt, because next to boredom, it's guilt that holds the human being back.
Well, I had no idea that salvation is a lack of internal harmony. I thought salvation was deliverance from sin, hell, and the wrath of God. Someone once said that a weak view of sin equals a weak view of salvation. But the Bible says much different than Schuller about whether or not to preach that men are sinners. Remember when the rich young ruler came to Jesus? Jesus didn't tell him how much he was valued, like Schuller wants to, but convicted him of sin of idolatry. The book of Romans emphasizes an appeal to the law of God and our falling short of it that leads to a state of our knowledge of guilt before God. Paul wrote in Romans 3 that the law stops every mouth and makes the whole world guilty before God. The book of Galatians says that the law of God is a schoolmaster that leads us to Christ. In other words, our sinfulness and transgression of God's standards should produce such a sense of guilt and inferiority in us that it should make us fall before the cross begging for Christ's forgiveness. You know, you can't receive the cure if you don't know you have the disease. It would make no sense if someone came up to you and said he paid your speeding ticket if you didn't know you had a speeding ticket to pay. So the cross makes no sense until one realizes the huge debt and the huge sin he is charged with. In contrast to Schuller's view, a theology of salvation that exploits a person's intrinsic guilt produces grateful converts, not neurotic converts. It produces healthy converts, and converts who really are converts, not tares among the wheat. Well, this man, Robert Schuller, needs much prayer to come to his senses and repent of his false teaching before he has to stand before God someday and answer for leading millions astray. If you're interested in a CD of both parts of this message on Robert Schuller, you can email me at help@tower2truth.net or give me a call at 610-513-5525. That's 610-513-5525. Our website again is tower2truth.net. You'll find past radio programs archived on MP3 form ready to listen to online or that you can download. You'll also find information on Jehovah's Witnesses, Mormonism, Roman Catholicism, Christian Science, Islam, and more. And don't forget to tune in next week for another apologetic issue facing Christianity today. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.